Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who is it that lives in you? Who lives in you, my friends, today? Who lives in you? Whose life is present in your life? Whose life transforms your life? Who is it that lives within you today? Is it Jesus? Is it the Son of God? Is it the Word made flesh, now dwelling in your flesh today? Or is it the other guy? That other guy. Who lives in you? And how can you know which it is? Who lives in you today? And how can you know? That's point number one. Well, how do you know? You know, firstly, by what you believe. You know, secondly, by whom you know. And you know, thirdly, by what you do. Let's take each one of those one at a time. What you believe. What do you believe today? What do you believe? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform broken lives? What do you believe? Do you believe in God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Holy Spirit? And do you accept them as the Lord and Master and Guider of your life? Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And, most importantly, do you allow Him to be your Lord and Savior? We can always say with our lips, we believe in Jesus, but then our living shows no sign of it. I believe in Jesus, but then we don't act like it with our lives and our lips the rest of the time. It's like the pollsters. You know what? For years, I have never been contacted by any polling agency. They've never asked me who I'm going to vote for. They've never asked me what my beliefs are. They've never asked me to tell them what I'm going to do. Well, one day, finally, just 2 weeks ago, it happened. There was a phone call. And it was one of those polling agencies. Random call to find out what I believed about the direction of the nation and who I was going to vote for. And I finally got to tell them what I thought and whom I was going to vote for, and they didn't seem to want to hear it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Well, I guess I didn't meet the profile that they were looking for. A lot of people like to skew those polling results. They'll say one thing with their lips, but they'll do something different with their bodies. They'll say, I'm going to vote for X candidate. And then they don't even vote. Are you going to be that way? And speak an allegiance to Jesus and then fail to put your life on the line and live in accordance with the will that He has for you? What are you going to do? You can know who lives in you by what you say you believe, in whom you believe, and finally, by what you do, by how you live. If you speak your faith and know and receive your Lord and Savior and live your life accordingly, allowing Him to rule and guide you, then, my friends, you have Jesus in your life. That is point number one. Point number two. The life we live now, we live by faith in the Son of God. Not faith in the self, not faith in family, not faith in friends, not faith in money, not faith in country, not faith in education, not faith in science, not faith in doctors, not faith in anything other than Jesus Christ. There are many alternative objects for faith. We can have faith in lots of things, and most of the things in that list are good things. Family is a good thing. Friends are good things. The country is a good thing sometimes. The church is a good thing. Education is a good thing. Hear that, kids? Education is a good thing. All of these science and medical doctors are good things. But guess what? None of them, not even family and church and country, none of them saves us. None of them can save and transform a broken life. The only thing that saves, the only one who saves, and the only one in whom we can have faith for salvation is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if we do not have faith in Him for our salvation, our goose is cooked. Literally. Roasting in a lake of fire. That's point number two. The life we live by faith in the Son of God. Faith in Jesus who lives within us and justifies us by His grace. Justification, forgiveness, comes by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is point number three. Justification comes by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the effects of His death are applied to each of us for faith. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 25. God put Jesus forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. His blood, shed for the sins of the whole world, becomes effective for us through faith. His faith and our faith. His faith in the Father that His death would be an atoning sacrifice for the world. His faith in the Father that He would be raised from the dead on the third day. His faith in the Father that this would be the fulcrum around which history would rotate. And our faith in Him that we can trust in Him to carry us through this life and into the next. Faith. Faith connects us with the blood of the Lamb shed on the cross. Faith connects us with the blood of the Lamb taken into the temple in heaven and sprinkled on the heavenly altar. Faith connects us with the faith of Jesus and justifies us and cleanses us and saves us. So we got 3 points today. I was told when I was in preaching class many years ago that every good sermon is supposed to have 3 points in a poem. Well, I haven't done too many poems here the last 3 years. Big deal. And last Sunday I had an eight-point sermon, believe it or not. And I did it in less than 50 minutes. Today I have a little simple three-point message. But the meaning of the message is not simple or meaningless. Who lives in you? Is it Jesus? Or is it that other guy? You can know who lives in you by what you say you believe, in whom you believe, and how you live your life. That's point one. Who lives in you? And if it is Jesus who lives in you, Jesus lives in you for faith. And that faith, that's point two, and that faith, point three, connects us with His action on the cross for our sins. We sometimes think about the death of Jesus as something that happened, you know, almost 2,000 years ago. 1,970 some odd years ago. A long time ago, in a country far, far away. My friends, we are connected to it by the grace of God for faith. Indeed, we are placed in Christ when He is placed in us by faith, and we die on the cross with Him and die to our sins in Him. There is nothing that you can do. There is nothing that you can do to save yourself. That's the end of the passage today. Let me read it. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Did Christ die for nothing for you? Are you trying to save yourself by obeying the law? Obeying the law is not bad. It's not a bad thing to obey the law, but it doesn't save. There's only one thing that saves. Faith in and of Jesus Christ. Faith which connects us to His shed blood on the cross. Not works. Works flow as a response to faith. Works flow as God working in us, His grace working within us, impelling us, compelling us, empowering us to act in His name. And when we act in faith, and when our faith action is true and seated in Jesus, then the works that flow are Jesus' works working through us. The good works that we do are not our works, but the works of Jesus working through us. It isn't works that saves. And when we try to save ourselves by our works or think our works are doing us any good or getting us brownie points with Jesus, my friends, to the degree that we believe that, we are making God's grace null to that degree. I think God can save me. I think my works, however, are really good. And I think I can help Jesus by my works. So, Jesus will save me, and then I'll do some works to help Him out. Sorry, that don't work. To that degree that you are trying to depend upon your works to save you, to that degree, Jesus did not die for you. Huh? Yep. To that degree, the effects of the cross don't reach you. Oh, I'm sorry, friends. To that degree, you fail. And your faith is nonsense and meaningless. And you're in trouble. Who lives in you? Is it Jesus? Or is it that other guy? That other guy. Is it Jesus empowering you to faith? Empowering you to faith in Him and in His blood and in the cross? Or is it that other guy who is saying to you, you know, you can do this. You can save yourself. You don't need Jesus. You can do it yourself. Who is it that lives within you? Is it Jesus? Or is it that other guy? Ask yourself that question this week, my friends. Who lives within you? You can know by what you say you believe, in whom you say you believe, and by what you do. Are you allowing His grace to empower your living, to so transform your life that every step you take with Jesus? And everything you do and say, you do and say in the name of Jesus. I speak today, word of confession, I speak today as someone who is guilty of not always taking a step with Jesus. Trying to do it on my own. Last week, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Jim knows this. Last week, I did not want to stand up here and preach. I wanted to go home and go to bed. I certainly didn't want to go to annual conference and listen to what I was calling at that time a bunch of hypocrites on the floor of annual conference saying one thing with their mouths and doing another thing with their votes and in their actions. I wasn't allowing, by faith, the life of Jesus to live in me. I wasn't allowing, by faith, the grace of God to flush out that old man of sin within and allow the new man of righteousness, the real presence of Jesus, to live and overpower my sinful life. I was trying to do it all myself. I asked Jim to pray for me. And as I began the service and we sang some hymns and prayed some prayers and the scriptures were read, and up to that very moment that I had to stand up and stand behind the pulpit and begin my message, I still didn't want to preach. But when I did stand up and move over to the pulpit, in my heart, I said to God, when I open my mouth, take this from me and let me preach. And He did. In your living, in your daily living, I encourage you to do that too. When you feel as though, oh, I don't want to go up to that church today, I'm tired. They complain, they fight, they backbite, they disagree, they don't do what they say they're going to do, I think I'm just going to quit. When that emotional feeling hits you, my friends, recognize who it is. It's not Jesus. It's that other guy. Rebuke him in Jesus' name. Ask God to move into every step you take and every word you speak, and step out and speak in faith. And allow Him, the real presence of God, to transform you again. That old man of sin, Satan, living within, can be pernicious and evil and twisted, and he can sneak into even the best motivations. He sneaks in as an angel of light, and you don't even recognize him until he's already sitting there smoking a cigarette in your heart, polluting you with his evil intention. My friends, when you recognize the hand of Satan in your heart, ask yourself the question, who lives in me? And if your profession is that Jesus lives in you, then proclaim Him, rebuke Satan in Jesus' name, and step out and act in faith. And every step that you take, allow Jesus to take it with you. And every word that you speak, allow Jesus to speak with and through you. Who lives in you? Who lives in your heart? Is it Jesus? Or is it the other guy? Consider that question this week. Ponder and pray about it. And when you hear that voice of Satan whispering in your ear, rebuke him in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.